Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Biff Tannen Museum. Share in the excitement of a fabulous winning streak that earned him the nickname, the luckiest man on earth. Discover how, in 1979, Biff successfully lobbied to legalize gambling and turned Hill Valley's dilapidated courthouse into a beautiful casino hotel.
Do you want to talk, or do you want to bet?
We had 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, a whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers, also a quarter tequila, quarter rum, case of beer, pint of raw ether, 2 dozen emus.
Having cards is a foolproof system.
It's also illegal.
It's not illegal, it's frowned upon, like masturbating on an airplane.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal too.
Yeah, maybe after 9/11 where everybody gets so sensitive. Thanks a lot, Bin Laden.
Welcome everybody to Vegas Confessions. This is episode 10.5. We got another show for you, and we can't wait for what actually is the content for everybody to listen to. I'm Shane.
I'm Julian.
I'm Eric.
Awesome. So, how you guys been?
Good, man.
Been good, brother. You?
Been busy. Been really busy, but trying to get everything taken care of. Looking forward to May, along with other things. So it should be fun. Definitely. I really don't have any shout outs to start with, other than just the people who have given us, it's just been very humbling. You know, I've been talking to Julian and Eric both, and, you know, Julian kind of watches the Twitter feed a little bit and sees what goes on. And I don't know, Jules, you mentioned something about being hard to keep up with or something like that.
Oh, man, it's getting worse and worse every week with people flooding in with Vegas Confession comments or, you know, adding followers. And it's been hard to keep track up with, but I'm doing my best, and you people are awesome, man. We've been getting a lot of positive love lately, and I'm loving it. Yeah, as far as shout-outs go, I do have a few to get out there, of course. I have Snickers99 from yourtripreports.com. He actually uploaded my AC vlog this week on his site and Twitter, and he shared that for me. I thought that was pretty cool. And then Kid Dakota, yesterday I put up the little video of us now having black and white shirts, and this guy jumped on it right away, bought the first black Vegas Confessions shirt, so I want to give him a special shout out. And then also, last but not least, we have Tim from The Better Life. His episode came out with me on it this week, and I had got a real good kick out of it, not just being biased because I was on it, but it was a really good fun chat with the guy. So Tim, thank you, man, we appreciate it.
So I've got a couple myself. I want to start with Chris McGowan on Twitter. He's at Gamblin' Magoo. You know, he's been pretty interactive with us, a lot of positivity. Apparently, he went through a surgery recently, so he is no longer a mouth breather. Congratulations on no longer being a mouth breather, Chris. Hope you're getting well, and we look forward to hearing from you soon. And so, Jay, you had mentioned Tim Lawson. I have to add him as a shout out also. Not only was the episode great, but at the end of the episode, he mentioned that The Better Life is now the sponsor for Podcasters After Dark.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So, going forward, the event shall now be known as Podcasters After Dark, sponsored by The Better Life. He wanted to participate, and he reached out to me and said, listen, I can't be there. I've got a trip with my mom. I'm going to be in Europe. But what can I do to help support the community and help support what you're doing? And thank you, sir. We appreciate it, and look forward to working with you in the future as well.
That is so cool. I love hearing stuff like that. That's awesome. I'm glad somebody actually, now there's a sponsorship and that's cool. And I guess I do have one shout out when we talk about Zorkfest, which is coming up, which I think Eric will cover sometime during the show. Just Michael Traeger. You know, I've been kind of emailing back and forth. We had a request that we put out to people, other podcasters and bloggers, just for kind of, you know, bringing the family, the whole networking of Vegas together. And he sent us some tidbits. So Michael, you know, I thank you. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate everything that you, that Michael and you, Eric, has been just doing for this whole Zorkfest thing and putting it together. It's going to be amazing. I mean, I just can't wait till May. You know, it's going to be awesome.
Not to forget to mention the Craps Tournament, baby. Make sure you guys get signed up for that Craps Tournament. Buy your tickets, $125. It's going to charity. We are excited about it. We cannot wait to play Craps with everybody. That you can bet on that, guys. We'll obviously be there. It's going to be a fun event, man. I already purchased my ticket. I shared it this week. You guys go get it. Join us, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So one more request regarding the charity Craps Tournament. So on a couple of shows, this show included, I've asked for people to sponsor the Charity Craps Tournament so that all of the money goes to charity. It's an expensive endeavor to move in a craps table and have a full complement of dealers. I have had a few people reach out. So really what I'm looking for now is just another one or two people to do a partial sponsorship. We can figure out, you know, what you want that to look like, but the ask is nowhere near as large. So if you want to make a charitable deduction to a 501c3 charity, take that deduction next year on your tax return, since tax day is looming. That's the... Yeah. So we'll certainly work with you so that we can get you the deduction and make sure every dollar raised goes to charity. By the way, we have had a spike in the number of people that have signed up. So we are now looking at what we can handle. So there's a cap at 48 players. So the first 48 people that sign up are in. I don't know where we're at today. We still have probably at least another 20 left, but there are, I don't know, a month and a half between now and then. So if you want to participate, take your spot, because once we sell out, we're done.
Nice.
That is awesome. Well, with that being said, we'll probably plug a little bit about that towards the end. Again, I just can't wait. I mean, I honestly, you know, I need a break. I think everybody does. I know I definitely need a break. But anyway, this episode here, we went for a long time. We're going to cover some history for you guys, and we're actually going to have an interview with Jonathan Jossel, who is the CEO of the Plaza downtown Vegas. And just can't say how cool it was to have him on and have his time. Along with other tidbits that we're going to have from other things. So let's roll into history.
Hi there, boys and girls. Welcome to story time.
The address is number 1 Main Street. Talk about a great location. In 1905, Vegas opened up its first train depot that was designed with a Spanish Western motif, which was similar to a lot of the buildings in Vegas during that era. Surrounded by 63 acres that was owned by Union Pacific Railroad, it served as an essential part of long-distance travel to and from Las Vegas. Back in the day, the train depot would offer this deal. Anybody who purchased a train ticket to get to Vegas to buy land could get their ticket reimbursed if they showed proof they actually bought that land. Wheeling and dealing, even back then, just amazes me. In 1940, Train Depot received a major makeover, and it was named the Union Pacific Train Depot after the land that it was owned on, and had a slick modern look to it that added to all the other casinos, hotels, and bars that were popping up on the Fremont at the time. However, this one at last. In 1969, the train station was torn down, and in its place, the Union Plaza was built.
The Union Plaza opened on July 2, 1971, and was the largest casino and hotel in the world at the time with 500 rooms. Co-owned by several big-name Vegas fathers, which included Sam Boyd, Jackie Gahn, and Frank Scott. Now, if you guys have been listening to us for a while, all of those names popped up in other history segments that we've done, such as episode 3.5, where El Cortez was covered. And back in the day, that was the way to buy and build in Vegas. Gathering silent partners together to combine money, to create new magic, hoping it pays off, and the new casino becomes the next big hit. The million-dollar question we ask is, what kind of deal did they have to strike to buy that land? Well, that's where Frank Scott came into play. He was a developer that has ties with Union Pacific, and was able to acquire the land. A choir. Well,
right.
I don't know what he had to do to acquire it, but he acquired it. Again, with the history of Vegas, I'm sure there was some greased palms somewhere in the dealings, but, you know, like all things, that's how you get a deal done.
The Union Plaza brought something unique to downtown Las Vegas. With 22 stories and 504 rooms, it was by far the largest downtown hotel casino. Also, Sam Boyd brought in, wait for it, women dealers, which the city of Las Vegas had banned by ordinance for more than a decade. And in addition to the lounge, entertainment director Maynard Sloat offered not headliners but plays, ones that were somewhat provocative and included some fairly big Hollywood names. In 1974, Las Vegas also obtained its first 50,000 watt radio station, KDWN AM 720, which received space in exchange for commercials and regular announcements that it broadcasted from the Union Plaza Hotel at number 1 Main Street. Also, not only did it replace the train station as a stop off for rail travelers on Amtrak, but with the bus station nearby, its location at the center of downtown, the Union Plaza had built in clientele, along with being only casino hotel that had a train ticket booth near the lobby.
So I just want to kind of remark a little bit real quick. I find it amazing, you know, when we cover the stuff and we kind of find out, like the women dealers, like how big of a thing that was back in the day, you know, because of what Vegas did. They put the ordinance on them. They can't do this. They can't do that. And then they bring them in and that's like a thing. The second tower at the end of Carson Street added 521 rooms and convention space, making the Union Plaza the first downtown casino to offer that kind of room. The owners replaced the dome swimming pool at the entrance at Main and Fremont Streets with a center stage restaurant, which eventually turned in Oscar Steakhouse. In 1992, the Union Plaza revised its name after the gambling icon Jackie Gaughan and became Jackie Gaughan's Plaza. Then in 2004, the Barrett Gaming Corporation acquired the plaza, which soon after turned its majority of ownership to its silent partner, the Tamaris Group.
Let's rewind a little. You know, let's go back to the mid-90s in downtown Las Vegas. You know, it was decided that downtown, especially the Fremont area, was in serious need of renovation. So a committee was formed, and plans were approved to begin renovations. The Fremont Street Experience awning was completed in 1995, as well as plans for sprucing up the existing casinos and businesses, and new life was put into Fremont that for years was on a downward slide. So for a casino and hotel like La Plaza that was built in 1971, needless to say, it needed a facelift, especially for the growth that was going on around the iconic building. So in November 2010, the plaza was closed for a major $35 million renovation, leaving the sportsbook, showroom, a bar, and some of the casino floor open. It reopened on December 11, 2011, with a fresh look, mainly on the inside.
Fun facts. An interesting topic that we personally love is ghost. The plaza is said to be haunted by numerous ghosts, one being a stagehand that haunts the showroom. He committed suicide years ago and is famous for misplacing people's belongings. Another is said to be a restless woman who wanders the upper floors of its original hotel nightly. She is said to be wearing a light blue dress and appears through the walls out of nowhere. Also, there has been tons of movies and TV shows that were filmed at the plaza. The list is numerous. Here are some of the highlights. The Hangover Part 3, Casino, Back to the Future Part 2, Real World Vegas, and music videos from The Killers, Pink Floyd, Flo Rida, and Lil Wayne, just to name a few. There are numerous restaurants and bars that you can visit on site that include Hash House A Go-Go, Oscar Steakhouse, Pop-Up Pizza, Brightside, Machu Walk, and the Omaha Bar. There's a food court as well for any late night drunken eats that you may need before you pass out.
I gotta say, I find it funny, Jules, that you put, when you said Flo Rida, you actually put the Rida on the end of it. Really nice.
Yeah, but I kind of butchered Lil Wayne.
That's okay. It can't be perfect. I'm sure he's not listening, but you never know.
Leave it in. Leave it in.
So hilarious. Cool. So the Plaza continues to renovate, especially under its new CEO, Jonathan Jossel. Jonathan has been a staple of downtown Vegas since 2007. He worked as an executive for the Tamaris Real Estate and 3 years ago joined PlayLV, which is a management company for Tamaris. A few short years, he has headed up the helm of the continuing evolution of not only downtown, but the casino of Plaza itself. He has expanded the property to include the only bingo hall in downtown, which, by the way, he loves, evidently.
He loves.
All new convention center, renovated rooftop pool that includes a tennis court and 12 pickleball courts, which I've never played pickleball. Any of you guys, pickleball?
No, sir.
I have played pickleball.
Why am I not surprised?
Not with a pickle.
I have played pickleball. Adam Bauer, if you're listening, I challenge you to a game of pickleball. I will smote you, brother.
Dun, dun, dun. There it is. The gauntlet is thrown down. That's too funny.
Shane, I don't know if you caught his comment today, but he was asking for a Vegas confession shirt. But if we could remove the logo and put his travel fanboy on there for him.
I got that. I'm like, really? Sure. But anything for you, man. That is too funny. One of these days, maybe in the Plaza, I'll play pickleball. So, and the 12 pickleball courts. And thank God, a new carpet on the casino floor, which seems to have a life of its own. And I swear to God, it should have its own Facebook account or something, because it pops up in my dreams. I follow it. It's a weird thing. You know, just saying. So without further ado, after this, we are going to have an interview with Jonathan Jossel. Stand by. So, Jonathan, awesome. This is Jonathan Jossel from the Plaza Vegas Casino. Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the line.
Not a problem. We were talking a little bit prior about today's kind of, and you're going to repeat it again, but just for our listeners, today's a special day on your side.
It's a special day for many reasons. It's my birthday today. I've chosen to spend it with you guys. And also because it's the launch of our first inaugural Jamboree Bender at the Plaza, which is a musical festival for jam bands that we just kicked off. It kicks off in about an hour, and we got bands playing in all our music venues over the course of the next 4 days. Some really, really great talent, and I'm excited about that.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so cool. I know that you always have things going on. I know that I believe in May when we go down there, you're going to have a luau festival as well. Is that correct?
The luau is over Memorial Day weekend. Yeah, we did that last year actually as well. We do a little fireworks show. We had a luau up at the pool deck, some Hawaiian music. It's a fun night. That's just more one night. This jamboree is more the format of the big blues bender that we do in September. It's more of a 4 day event. People checked in today and last night, and they'll be staying here till Monday morning in many cases. And we literally have music being played either at the pool, the showroom, or the event center, which we call the juke joint for the purpose of this event. We literally have music going from midday until 3-4 in the morning at all these different venues.
Oh, wow. That's actually pretty amazing. What kind of a turnout is that, are you expecting, as far as people?
The Big Blues Bender, we get about 2,500 people at the sellout event. That's capacity. This is because, and that's in its fourth year at the Plaza, but because this is in its first year, we're expecting about 1,000 people this time around.
Oh.
So we're hoping to grow this over the next few years.
That is awesome. That is awesome. That's cool. I hope that goes great for you. Great to have you on. So we're going to let Eric actually kick this off, Eric, whenever you got a chance.
Great. So, Jonathan, you know, many of our listeners, basically the greater Vegas podcast community, everybody's really familiar with Derek Stevens and the Stevens brothers, but I'm not sure how many of them really know how important you are to the improvements of the Plaza specifically and downtown in general. Would you mind sharing your role as it ties to management and ownership relative to the Plaza, Tamaris, and PlayLV?
Yeah, absolutely. Firstly, you know, Derek's been great for downtown, him and his brother. They've been amazing for downtown, and they're good friends, so I appreciate everything they're doing for the area. You know, we have a little different philosophy. Tamaris is more of a private investment group. They invested in downtown Las Vegas in 2004. You know, a lot of people have come to downtown in the last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. These guys were in downtown 15, 15 years ago. So they definitely, in my mind, were market leaders to Mars in terms of realizing the opportunity that existed in downtown. They just have a different philosophy in terms of, you know, they like to stay more private, and that's just their way of doing it. I don't necessarily think it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just their way of doing business, which is different to others. But for me personally, I moved out here in 2007, and I was with Tamara's, mostly on the real estate side. At the time, we owned a lot of real estate, particularly in East Fremont as well, down by, we still own a lot of stuff on 6th and Fremont, but we owned close to 40 acres of land. We bought Jackie Gorn's portfolio of all his real estate, except for the El Cortez, which he kept at the time. So we had all of his hotel casinos, we had all of the land, and I feel that some of our investments into downtown, particularly in East Fremont, people don't know about it. They credit East Fremont as happening when Tony Hsieh came to town, which he certainly was a big proponent of that. But, you know, our properties down there to this day are some of the most successful, with Latai, Commonwealth, Beauty Bar, Don Tomame, La Comida. Those are all of our tenants. And I think that was a huge catalyst for the downtown area, with that area taking off. And my role has evolved over the years as I was in real estate. It sort of changed a little bit now as I left the real estate side and moved more into the Plaza, and at the time the Las Vegas Club, the gaming operations, and I got my gaming license and took over the operations of the Plaza. It's been a great run for us, and I'm excited about the future. And you know, I think as a young guy, I was 23, 24 when I came out here. It's hard sometimes, but people just don't take you as seriously, as opposed to when you come to town as an established businessman and you start doing things, it's easier to get your name out there. But we're growing, and I think people are taking notice of what's happening at the Plaza right now.
So how did you get involved in the casino industry, and what hooked you into it?
It was definitely by luck. You know, everyone in life needs a break. So everyone needs somebody to give them a break or to somehow. You need a little bit of luck. And at the time I was doing my thesis on the gambling industry in the UK, this is 2005, when I met the guy who owns Tamara's, the investment company, and I told him what I was doing, and he told me he had just bought 6 casinos in downtown Las Vegas. And basically from that moment, the relationship, I was fascinated by him, and I came out here in 2005, and I wasn't that excited about what I saw in downtown, but I recognized that potentially there was, over time, going to become something. And then when I came back in 2007, I already started seeing the foundations for downtown to become something, and I wanted to be a part of it. But I was always interested in the gaming industry, hospitality industry, and, you know, I don't see myself as being in the casino industry. I really see it more as hospitality. The casino is just an element of that. It's all about so much more than just the casino.
That's the bonus.
Exactly. That's awesome. Well, you know, we talked a little bit about Derek Stevens earlier on just like who you met and how you work with other people. Just curious on your other relationships, key players in Vegas, whether it be owners or operators of strip casinos, downtown casinos. Who have you worked else with closely as far as that goes, and or some of you in the future that maybe you want to get on board with and do projects with or whatever have you?
It's a good question. I really haven't worked anywhere else just because I've been exclusive to the Plaza. But in terms of developing relationships, I love the Epsteins and what they've done at the El Cortez. I think they're some of the best operators in town. I think they understand the market. They understand their customers. I have a very good relationship with them. And I also obviously have a relationship with Seth at the Downtown Grand. I've worked with a lot of the people in downtown, and obviously, I mean, I know everyone on Fremont Street, haven't necessarily worked with them. But, you know, our owner from Tamara's, and I say ours, he's a real estate guy. He has a very good relationship with Sheldon Adelson, even with Steve Wynn from back in the day. And I've had the chance to meet with them and get their perspectives, which is always fascinating and wonderful insight into the industry.
I don't have a good segue for this, but we're just going to roll with it. One of my favorite things about Vegas properties are the loyalty programs. And I had a wonderful experience with Royal Rewards a number of years back. And at the time, you were running a number of fantastic promotions to bring in new players. And we're trying to get a group of people together. We want to come out. We want to visit. We want to check out your property and spend some time on your casino floor. The promotions of years past seem to have dried up. Is there any chance of getting either a tier match or, you know, you used to have lost rebate promotions? Is there anything like that coming up in the near future or anything that we could expect?
Well, first, let me answer the first, the second part of your question. I would love to give you a tier match. I know you. I feel good about it. I would be happy to give you and your group and whoever else those kinds of tier match promotions or the benefits of that when you're next in town. But the issue with the promotions, in my mind, are twofold. One, I found that when you give people lost rebate programs or major incentives to come in, they're only coming in for the deal, which means they're only as loyal to you as when the next deal comes along. And we didn't see much success long-term with those things. Yes, they absolutely draw people in. But long-term, it's much more important to focus on the experience and to invest in the amenities and the physical property and the service and the whole experience than to be focused on a deal upfront. And that's, you know, many people might disagree with me. Many people still do it. And that's absolutely fine. I've seen it work in some instances. The other thing I'll tell you is, and this is what's amazing me, is how smart some people have become. I mean, there are advantage players out there that know how to use every single promotion that's ever existed. And some of the ones you particularly mentioned are favorites of theirs. So it becomes, they ruin it for everyone because it becomes very difficult to manage that. But that aside, I just didn't find that people long term, were loyal if they were just coming for the promotion. It was just a short term benefit. If you wanted to come in, I would gladly give you the tier match program.
Okay, well, that's fantastic.
I could sit and talk to you for hours about that stuff, though.
I would love to sit and talk with you for hours about that stuff.
Preferably over a cocktail.
That would be fantastic because the adverse selection that you're probably getting with those types of promotions, that would be that's a whole other conversation, and I look forward to doing that at Oscars one night with you.
Anytime.
Very good.
What are some of the biggest changes today you have seen since you've become the CEO of the Plaza?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's that many changes to Las Vegas. You know, Las Vegas has changed as the economy's changed. Today, the buzz is all about sports teams. Obviously, we went through the horrible experience of October 1. Sports hospitality has become the big thing. Obviously, everyone's all the hoopla is about millennials and esports, and then there's all the hoopla about resort fees and charging for parking and all these things. But at the end of the day, the business to me stays the same. It's really a simple business, and it's about taking care of people, and it's about having the right product. And so I don't know that I've seen that many changes. I know what everyone's talking about, and I just I don't get that focused on all that distraction. I like to focus on the core of the business, the simple things. To me, bingo is still the greatest thing. I would take bingo any day over an esports arena.
That's awesome. Yeah, you have that actually, that amazing bingo hall upstairs that you just renovated, right?
Yeah, we renovated the bingo room. We do 6 super bingo events every year, which is a 3-day bingo extravaganza. We just finished it 2 days ago, and we had 800 people here playing bingo for 3 days. It doesn't get better. It doesn't get better. It's my favorite event of the year, and we do 6 of them now.
That is fantastic. I know. And when we walked around and looked at that upstairs again back in, you know, during the Super Bowl, just amazing everything that was done up there for that whole convention center in that area. Well done and well laid out. You know, this is a question that's kind of, you know, we can't be serious about everything. You know, we talk a little bit about everything from Vegas to from gambling to stories to history, you know, so we're kind of history buffs when it comes to that. And obviously Plaza plays a big role in that history for where it's at and you know, how long it's been there. If you had a chance to see another casino that maybe isn't there anymore, you know, pick any of them out of the Vegas history back when, which one would it be? I was curious on that.
You probably won't like my answer, but If I could go back in time, I would love to see the plaza, for the sake of the answer, I'll call it the Union Plaza.
There you go.
I would have loved to have seen the Union Plaza in 1971 on opening night. I would have loved to have seen what Oscars was as a pool deck and to see the energy and the atmosphere of what was at the time, I believe, the biggest hotel casino in the world, being opened, and the fanfare and the amount of excitement. Because I have a picture in my office of the plaza right around opening night in 1971, and to see the people dressed and the cars under the dome and the atmosphere, I would have loved to have seen that.
That is actually, you know, there's nothing wrong with that answer, because I kind of,
that's a bad answer at all.
No, I kind of half expected, to be honest with you. And just for information on your side, you know, we try to lump themes kind of together when we do podcasting. So on this episode that we have Jonathan Jossel on, we're also going to cover the plaza history. So we researched that, and we're going to lead up and roll into this, and couldn't be a more perfect fit. So, you know, Eric, did you have one last question for him?
Yeah, I do. And Jonathan, I ask this with the utmost respect. Can I ask you to speak a little bit about the plaza's lack of participation in the Fremont Street experience? And have you encountered any issues or static due to that lack of participation?
Wait, you don't think the zipline wall was done as a design piece? No, I can't, I don't have much to say about it, truthfully, because it's a very long historical issue. It goes back way beyond my time here. The plaza's on Main Street. It wasn't initially on Fremont Street. It wasn't initially a part of Fremont Street when the original owners had it, and then the whole concept. So it just goes, it has a long history, and it's an unfortunate ending. But I don't really have any insight into where it ends in terms of how it continues, other than where we are today. I think it's sort of an okay situation. It's not great. It's not terrible. We're doing well. I've always believed that the plaza, even before we technically left Fremont Street, the plaza needed to be a standalone resort. It needed to have its own amenities and sort of attract people on its own merit, and that's what we're focused on. So the history of the plaza in Fremont Street goes way before my time. I don't really have anything to add on it, other than they're great for downtown. I have no issues with any of the board members. I think they're doing a great job in bringing people downtown, and we're excited about what we're doing as well. So I think it's a win-win for everyone at this point.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think the only other thing, and we'll wrap up time with you again, it's your birthday. I mean, and here you are stuck with us. So.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
You know. Well, first off, I would like to give Gary a thank you. Again, when we were out there in September, he did a great job in just showing us around. You know, of course, we thanked him and the pool and the new pickleball courts and everything that was renovated up there. So other than this interview, and you guys have just been nothing but gracious, and you know, a lot of the people who are in our group and a lot of the people that we kind of converse with daily, I can't tell you how many times that the name Plaza comes up. I mean, it's kind of a neat thing, and you're part of that. You know, anything at this point, you know, as far as anything you want to promote or questions or last minute items you have on your side, Jonathan?
Well, actually, I want to thank you guys, because it's people like yourselves and other bloggers and message boards that allow me the insight into what people are saying and hearing and doing here. And that's really helped me become a little bit better at as a leader and what I'm trying to do here. So I thank you guys for your input and your passion for Las Vegas and downtown and even the plaza, because that's what we need here. So thank you. And, you know, I don't even know where to start. I don't know how long we have, but I'm excited about everything here. Particularly the carpet is my number one joy right now. We just installed an all-new casino carpet, and I vow that when you see it, you'll say you've never seen a casino carpet quite like it. Everyone will have an opinion. They might hate it. They might look like someone vomited Las Vegas on the carpet, or you'll love it. But either way, you won't ignore it. And we've got people coming in here taking pictures of it. It's pretty cool. So we just finished that a few weeks ago. We're in the process of, we just announced, I think yesterday or the day before, that we're opening a new 5,000 square foot gym, fitness center. Many people don't come to Las Vegas for a gym. But you know, when I talk about being a standalone destination and really taking on a convention business and growing our hotel business, a gym is an important part. And we now have something that's on a par for sure with anything downtown, but possibly with anything in town at all. I mean, it's an impressive gym facility that we've built now. So next time you guys are here, I'll look forward to showing you that. And then we're in the process of opening up our pool deck for the third season. Again, you guys had a chance to have the tour of the pool deck. Gary took you up there. It's a great facility. And this is our third year, and every year we've grown and improved and continued to tweak it. And I think this is going to be our best summer up there yet. So we're also doing a little, it's actually not being announced yet, but I don't know when this will air, but we're doing a little room remodel as well. We're going to be doing about 150 rooms into new style rooms that haven't been announced yet. So I'll probably get shot by my PR lady for saying that. But I trust you guys. You'll only tell your best friends. You know, we've recently redone the third floor convention space that you saw, and so that's also now really the focus is on selling that and getting that occupied. And I have a new announcement coming, which I won't ruin, but we have a new show coming that I think is going to be extremely interesting to guys like yourself and anyone who likes the history of Las Vegas.
Fantastic. I cannot wait. You know, and as far as that carpet goes, Jonathan, I don't know why it doesn't have its own Twitter page, honestly. I mean, it's just...
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. I should have someone do that.
Speaking of Twitter, it was one of the members of our group that won your Twitter contest for the artwork.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, cool.
And I'll actually be picking it up for him. I'm coming down to, let's see, in about 2 weeks, I'll be coming down. I'm going to pick it up for him. Hopefully you're around. I get to shake your hand. And
Absolutely. Absolutely. Please let me know. Or I think it's Lisa who would have... coordinated it. Please let her know and I'll come say hi when we give it to you.
Wonderful. Fantastic.
Yeah, I want to do more of that. I got a lot more stuff I want to do, so we'll be doing more of that as well.
Somebody in our group wanted that. We were going to share custody or all take pieces of it.
Nice. Excellent.
Well, sir, I thank you, first of all, very much on behalf of Vegas Confessions and all the Vegas lovers out there. And you know, this is kind of why we do this, and it's a great joy to just get somebody on the phone like you and have you on our show. This actually will air soon, just for your information. We try to do a pretty quick roll around as far as that goes. And I know there's a lot of people looking forward to listening to it and hearing what you have to say and everything about Plaza. So I just, you know, personally, I just want to say thank you and yeah.
And I mean, we can't thank you enough. And then like you talked about, you know, it's people with passion like you that give us a lot of interest in Vegas and the different places, and meeting people like you shows it's been a good time and shows your facilities and, you know, extend your arm. It means a lot. So again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts, man.
Oh, you guys are welcome anytime. And I really hope you'll let me know when you're all next in town and we'll get a drink.
Wonderful.
We'll definitely be there in May. Oh, yeah.
I'll see you then.
Take care, Jonathan. Happy birthday. Be well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Below, 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 the ice below. I can't tell you guys personally how cool that was. I don't know. What do you
think?
What's your guys'
nice guy, man.
No.
Yeah, we're going to have to spend some time there our next trip. Yeah, we're going to have to go down there.
Yep. No, definitely. And, you know, and it was it was kind of a jump the hoops getting him on, which is awesome because, you know, obviously he doesn't have time for piddly little podcast thing, but he did have time. He did do it. He did it on his birthday nonetheless. So, I mean, just come on. You know, that's too cool. So, again, you know, I just want to say thank you. You know, that was awesome. Hope you guys enjoyed that. What we're going to do, we got a quick mail that we're going to play. Quick little voicemail that we got.
So our voicemail comes from Dr. Taylor Jew. And a funny thing about Taylor, before there was Eric Rosenthal on every Vegas podcast out there, there was Dr. Taylor Jew. So Taylor, excuse me, Taylor, was regularly on the different podcasts that I would listen to. And when I went out to my first VIMF. Maybe it was 2014. I knew nobody. And just like you two guys found each other and you kind of, you know, went off and did your thing, Taylor and his lovely girlfriend Tara kind of adopted me as their lonely soul for the trip. Nice. So, right. So aside from the podcasters, the only name that I knew was Taylor. And Taylor, as he'll mention in the voicemail, he's probably not as outgoing as Tara. So, you know, he was a little reserved to begin with, but they just adopted me. So if you are tired of hearing Eric Rosenthal, you have Taylor and Tara to thank for that, because if it wasn't for them, I probably would not have gone to so many of these meetups, and I certainly would not have reached out to different podcasters and things of that nature. So you're stuck with me, and it's Taylor and Tara's fault.
Taylor and Tara, really? Because that's like a show. That sounds like a show. Those are two great names.
Let me tell you something. I've spent a fair amount of time with them. It can be a show. It can absolutely nice. Be a show. And we That's have funny. Running inside jokes. And I actually think Father's Day weekend, we're going to be spending time with Taylor and Tara at Green Valley Ranch. Oh, so, cool. And also, as a podcast, you know you've made it when you're receiving a voicemail from Dr. Taylor Jew. That is actually, that is the line by which podcasts are measured. And I am here to say, mission accomplished.
Fantastic. Nice. There you go. Well, without further ado, enjoy.
Thank you.
Vegas Confessions, this is Taylor from New Mexico. Okay, so it's halftime of the final championship game of the March Madness, and my niece goes to Michigan, so I had a few drinks to calm the nerves, you know, and I called in to give you the confession that I've only told one person, my girlfriend. So the story goes like this. I go to March Madness, the first weekend of March Madness every year. I try to go every year. I've been 4 out of 5 years. Well, 3 years ago, I went to, I was downtown, and I was watching the games on Thursday, the first round, at the D, and I didn't want to buy drinks, so I came down. So that's the viewing party's at the ballroom on the 12th floor. I came down to the second floor at the view bar, and I didn't want to buy drinks, so I put $20 into a video poker machine. $1.25 a hand. If I lost every single hand, it would have lasted me 16 hands, but I think I literally did not last 20 hands. So the first 20 went by really fast, and I only had one drink. So I put another, I think I put a 20 or 100 in, and I'm like, I gotta catch up on that first 20, right? It happens to all of us. It just happens that I did it that year. And I pounded that Bacardi to get that $20 worth of drinks that I lost so fast. And I'm an Arkansas grad, so Arkansas game was in the evening. By the time I got back to downtown Grand, like 1 p.m., I was shit-faced. So I called my girlfriend Tara and said, I'm going to take a quote-unquote nap, and I'll wake up at 7 to watch the Arkansas game. I took a nap, which is really, I passed out, woke up, totally missed the game. So that was the only win Bobby Portis had at Arkansas, who was playing at Chicago Bulls now. So one advice, don't get shit-faced on Thursday and Friday early during March Madness. And that is the embarrassing story I've only told one person. We'll see you guys at VV6. Shane, we played craps together at Bally's at VV4. We're on the other side. I don't think I said hi to you that year. I'll make sure I say hi. Shane, I don't think I've ever met you. And Eric knows us. I'll be sure to have Tara say hi to all of you. She's the extrovert of the couple. I just let her loose and let her meet people, and I take credit for being so nice. Anyway, love your show. We'll see you at over Memorial Day weekend.
So, Taylor, I want to thank you for calling in. That's great words of advice for our listeners. I've got one bone to pick with you, though, Taylor. When you called 500 drunk, discussing how you were eating chicken fingers off of somebody's tray in the hallway.
Ooh. Yeah.
That really sounded like a Vegas confession to me. So due respect to Tim and Michelle, and they should have voicemails too. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to the drunken, disorderly voicemails that you tend to leave from time to time.
That's awesome. So you said you're hanging with him on Father's Day, right?
Father's Day weekend, yeah.
Okay. I'd love to meet both of them, actually. I can't wait. I heard the voicemail. I was like, oh, that's too cool. So...
That is awesome. They said they saw me at Vegas Vacation 4, and he knows you, Eric. So, and he's yet to meet Shane. So I didn't run into him. So I'm looking forward to meeting him too. The name has come up a couple of times. So I'm looking forward to meeting him.
Can I tell one more slightly funny story that I hope doesn't offend anybody?
Please.
Okay.
So, so my wife and I did a vow renewal on the Eiffel Tower at the hotel that shall not be named. and Taylor and Tara were there.
Oh, okay.
And there were a number of people that would refer to Taylor when they were asking questions as Eric's Korean friend. Fast forward a year, maybe a little bit more, Han from Chicago and I have become friends. Uh-huh. And there is this running joke, and it's really not a joke. It happens all the time, where when people see me with Han or they see me with Taylor, they confuse the two, and they look nothing alike.
Oh, my God.
There is absolutely zero resemblance between the two of them. But they both get lumped into Rosenthal's Korean friend. Which hasn't happened to Chris Kim yet, but
I was going to ask you if that was
coming. It's coming.
I'm sure the day is coming. Even my mother-in-law met Han at Zorkfest in Atlantic City, and she just assumed that Han was Taylor and started talking to him because she met Taylor at the wedding.
Oh my God. That actually is too funny. That is too funny.
So to Taylor and Han and any future Korean friends I hope to have, I apologize.
Not my fault.
I don't know what else to say, but I'm sorry, and I thank you for your friendship.
That's too funny. I don't think there is anything you really could say because you didn't do anything, but it's just kind of funny, the whole situation. Oh, my God. That's cool. Well, you know, again, thank you, Taylor, for calling in. Stand by for cartoons, guys.
Disco Blood Bath Rookie Fever. Disco Blood Bath Rookie Fever.
Hi, this is Michael from ZorkCast. ZorkCast is a chat about casinos, luxury travel, Las Vegas, and gambling with a focus on experiences. Passenger experiences and casino experiences are major areas of conversation and exploration. We usually choose a single topic and do a short podcast about it a few times a week. You can find me on Twitter at TravelZork or in the ZorkCast Facebook group or at TravelZork.com. Have a great week, and I hope to hear from you soon.
So next up, we have one little last tidbit, and then we're going to kind of stick a pin in this pig. We have a really good friend of ours. If you guys remember a few episodes ago, actually last episode, I believe, we were talking about the three best and three worst of Vegas, whatever the pick was, what people wanted. We did have one friend that we kind of interviewed late, and we want to get him in. His name's Joey Gibson. Awesome guy. Can't wait to hear him. And basically this is his little tidbits for his three best and three worst. So here you go.
So next we have Joey Gibson, one of our close buddies, on the line. How you doing, Joey? Thank you for coming on, brother.
Oh, not a problem.
By all means.
Well, we wanted to ask you, brother, what is your top three favorite things about Vegas and your least top three favorite things about Vegas?
Oh, well, you know, it's a little funny. And the reason I say that, you know, Norm and I, we're low rollers. You know, we're not big ballers.
I hear you. Join the club.
we keep things on the cheap, or we at least try to. So, you know, we tend to fly in early. That being said, you know, we can't check into our rooms yet. So we try to get something to eat, you know, ahead of time, you know, before we can check in. What better place to hit up than Ellis Island? You know, we always hit up Ellis Island.
There you go.
You know, it's an inexpensive place. Their food's always on point, and you know, it's one of my tops. You know, for a bargain, you know, that's one
love
of my favorites.
Love that place.
Good pick.
Yes, sir. Well, of course, you got your other favorites. You know, other food favorites. You know, like your Pizza Rock or Coney Island. You know, Hash House. But those we usually hit those, you know, later on in the trip. Of course, you got Mon Ami Gabi, that it's at a property that shall not be named.
Nice.
Yeah, but that those are pretty much our food choices. You know, we tend not to hit up the high dollar places unless we're going with some special friends or whatnot.
Especially Hash House. I will tell you about Hash House late, like 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Man, that is the place. The one at Link.
We've never hit it late. We've always hit it early. If we don't hit it for breakfast, you know, we've never hit. Do they have good lunch and dinner?
Oh, it's fantastic. No, it's just like that, and they're 24 hours. So
they got good drunk food, huh?
Good drunk food. I think last time I went there, I had like a double cheeseburger with mashed potatoes on it. Yeah, it was pretty bad. I didn't eat it, needless to say. My wife looked at me funny, nice. But it was still good.
Nice.
So awesome, man. What else you got?
Oh, well, you know what? You know, I just love meeting up with all our friends, you know, old friends, new friends, you
hear
know,
that.
The key thing about, you know, meeting up with everybody, you know, just we made so many new friends, you know, out there. And that's really special to Norma and I. And, you know, having that first drink, you know, the drinks are always better in Vegas, I think, for some reason or another. They always seem to taste better.
It's atmosphere,
especially when
man.
They come out of a backpack, huh?
absolutely. You know what I'm talking about, my brother.
Yes, sir. I mean, we all know I don't drink, but you showed up at Flamingo 8 o'clock in the morning handing me beers out of the backpack.
So, you know, what else is here? What else is there?
That's my guy.
I like all the free shows, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I like the volcano at the Mirage, you know, the statues at Caesars, you know, they come alive.
They're still cool, though.
Yeah, even the geeky 3D Eminem show, you know, all the freebies, and then of course you got downtown, you know, Fremont, you know, that's a show in itself,
right?
And of course all the people watching and the bands on Fremont. I mean, those they get some pretty good bands out there. I really enjoy them.
They do. Yeah, you just gotta stay away from that guy in that thong that's 89 years old. That dude, I can't do it. I just can't do it. So.
Didn't Jay get a picture or a video of him?
I know what you're talking about, Joey. I know. But I will agree with you on those bands, man. I remember walking through the D, and somehow I ended up outside under the canopy, and some bands were just playing. I told my wife, I'll be outside. I'm going to go check out these bands. They were really, really good cover bands. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, by the way, Joey, 2 points. Number one, you have the second most famous backpack on this podcast. and I'd like to congratulate you on that. Secondly, nice. can we get an update on Natalie? Has she had tournament?
No, you know what? And I apologize.
Go ahead and tell the people first. Go ahead.
Thank you all. Thank you everybody that threw out their votes for her each and every day. I caught her on St. Patrick's Day and caught her, you know, do it. I had her do a little live videos. She said, thanks, everybody.
Cool. Cool.
Getting back to an update, it's not until May 10th.
Okay. In Chicago. Okay.
Right. Okay. And we were going to try and get up there, but it's during the week. I'm like, how the hell are they going to have this final competition during the week? But definitely I will have her have a friend do a video or even a live feed or whatever she could do, you know, however she could swing it, and let us know, keep us posted how it's going. But it's not until May 10th.
Gotcha. Thank you. That's awesome.
She sent out nothing but love. I mean, she really appreciated, you know, everybody that you know, supported her. She couldn't believe, you know, all the support she was getting. And I thank you all from the bottom of my heart, too. Thank you.
Man, if somebody deserves it, you know, more than worth it. You know, nothing but cool. Man,
thank you.
So.
Thank you.
And for some of the people who are listening who have no idea what the hell we're talking about,
right.
Joey's niece was in a bartending competition and basically came down to votes. And so he reached out to the Ocean's 14 group and everybody started coming in. And I think she ended up winning by, what was it, Joey, like 500 votes?
Yeah, she got over 50% of the votes. Yeah, it was unreal, yeah, by, you know, more than 500 votes. Yeah,
that's
it
cool.
It was crazy.
That's awesome.
Right, and so the winner got selected to go to the final mix-off in Chicago. So she will be going to Chicago. Thanks to everybody that had a big participation in it. So congratulations, Natalie.
Right, awesome. No, thank you. Appreciate it. What it was, you know, she was a runner-up at one of the I guess the regional competitions, and since they were only taking the winners and the runners-up. If they got voted in, which was the whole thing with the vote, got to go ahead and go to the national competition also coming up in May.
Nice.
Cool.
Yep.
Awesome. So what are some of your dislikes, brother, about Las Vegas?
Well, let me follow up on my freebie shows.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
and the reason I say that is because it kind of leads into my dislikes. You know, my most favorite show of all time freebie show in Vegas was the pirate show. A lot of folks thought it was cheesy. A lot of folks didn't like it. You know, I loved it. Yeah. I loved it so much. I would make it a point to stay there at Treasure Island.
Nice.
And, I mean, from, and then they switched it over to the Sirens of TI. Oh, I loved it even more. if y'all know what I'm talking about, I mean, you might not have seen that show. I don't know. But then of course they start doing all the renovations, the de-theming is my number one worst thing I hate about Vegas. All the de-theming they're doing away with the pirate show. They're bringing in CVS, the tigers at the Mirage. You know, when you walked in, you know, they used to have the tigers right there, the lion exhibit at MGM.
Just
all kinds of stuff. I hate the de-theming of Vegas. That's what I fell in love with, and you know, it's going away little by little. That's just one of the things I hate.
That's kind of what made Vegas, Vegas.
But I guess number two, kind of getting back what Jay said also. I mean, I'm right there with them. You know, the pushy, excuse me, how long you gonna be in town for? You know, the
timeshare folks.
I hate them along with the buskers and the bums. It is what it is, I guess, with the bums. Maybe they went out there with a dream and, you know, wound up on the street. I don't know. I'm not a judge, but, you know. Yeah, so that, I guess that's my number two. And, you know, number three, you know, getting back to the sentimental side, you know, I just hate saying goodbye to everybody, especially saying, you know, goodbye to my money.
That's right. Man, that last day is tough. That last day is tough. When you're hugging and you're shaking, I'm with you.
Especially when you're only there for 48 hours or 36 hours or whatever it is.
Right.
And you know that the rest of your crew is going to be there for another 4 days and you're going to be like, y'all have fun.
I'm with you there, man. That sucks. But it's still, the cool thing is the people, like you said in the beginning, the people that you go with, you know, it's kind of changed my viewpoint a lot. You know, I mean, I took a chance on doing the solo trip out September. And, you know, my wife was in Philippines teaching. I thought, well, shit, I'm just going to go. You never know what's going to happen. So.
True.
Yeah.
True.
There you go. So, awesome, man. Dude, thank you so much for coming on. Like I said, you're one of the first people that I hooked up with. I know Julian's known you, and we just love you and Norman to death. And thanks for your time. And every time we see you, you know, I can't tell you how cool and blown away I was with Ocean's 14 when you decided you were just going to show up for that little 36 hours type thing. Beyond cool. You know, beyond cool. So I appreciate it, and I thank you, man. So
yeah, we appreciate you, brother. We thank you for reaching out every week, giving us some feedback on what you loved about the show. And right. it means a lot when you're sending us pictures of you driving in your RV down the highway and you're bumping Vegas does, Confessions yeah. intro. I mean, that's yeah. pretty awesome, Joey. Thank you, man.
I love it, man.
You're a good friend, man.
Hey, awesome. Love it. We love it. Norma loves it. You know, nothing but love for y'all.
Yeah.
Can't cool. wait to meet the family in May, Joey. Thanks for coming on.
We'll see you, bud.
Yes, sir. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Awesome. Man, Joey, thank you, number one, for your time. You know, because it just always, everybody's time is important. And, you know, we try to get everything kind of wrapped up. But what you had to say and everything, it's just thanks, man. Thanks for having that in. Can't wait to see you in May. And looking forward to a lot of the times with you and your wife, Norma. Just can't wait for it. So, you know, appreciate that. That's awesome.
Very true. Interesting little tidbit is these folks flew out to hang out with us for, what was it, Shane, 30 hours, and then they flew right back to Texas. So, I mean, it says a lot about their character. They're some of the genuinest people we've ever met. And, you know, when they come out, you know we're going to have a good time. And there's always beers in his backpack, so stay close. So, again, he's just a good people. He's a hell of a time, and he's always smiling. And, man, the guy can drink.
Yep.
So make sure you guys look forward to hanging out with this guy.
Yeah.
Great people. I smile thinking about Joey and Norma Gibson.
I'm smiling right now.
Wonderful, wonderful people. And can't wait to see you guys.
Yep, it'll be fun. You know, and likewise, man, I tell you, there's some really good friends I've met through this adventure. Obviously, one being Julian and Eric and, you know, Joey and Norma, man, you're right there too. Can't wait. Absolutely can't wait. And we talk about you more than you think, and not in a bad way. So just FYI. Anyway, that's it. That's kind of what we got. So we have some wrap-ups that we're going to do if anybody has them. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It was fun for us. A little bit different from what our regular format is, but to have Jonathan on and have that experience and just for his time, beyond cool. You know, what do you guys got?
I just want to give a big thank you to Jonathan Jossel. A pleasure talking to the guy, especially on his birthday. Took some time to hang out with us. I mean, can't ask for a more genuine guy, man. That was cool.
So I've got a quick story I wanted to share. So today we're recording. It's Thursday, April 12th. On Monday, I was meeting with some clients down in South Jersey, and there happens to be there's a large fraternal organization that I'm a member of that was having a, let's call it a conference, in Atlantic City. So I was already halfway down there, more than halfway down there. It was probably about 20, 25 minutes away. So I decided I would go check it out after work. And I met up with Mr. Mikey Nines from, the Cousin Vito's Casino podcast.
Nice.
Yeah, so we didn't spend a lot of time together. I had to be up early and leave. We probably spent a couple hours. He was there with his brother Jack, who is getting married very, very soon. So congratulations to Jack and soon to be Mrs. Jack. But I've got a crap story for you. So Mikey and I are sitting, standing, playing at the craps table, and choppy table. Started out really well. Mikey had a nice long roll, not as good as the one at Mohegan Sun, but it was a good roll. And the feature bet at Caesars Atlantic City is the small, tall, and all bet. And I had been making that bet on every shooter. And as it came back, Mikey was to my right. As it came back to Mikey, he took the dice. I had one red chip left, so I put the red chip out on him as the shooter. 2-1-2, small, all tall. And it was basically 0.7 out. So the dice came to me. I had no ones. I had no fives. I only had larger chips. And I decided not to make the feature bet because I didn't want to make change. I figured the night was wrapping up. So I took the dice, and son of a bitch, I rolled them all. I'm making the bet all night long. I had no money on the feature bet. I would have won, 175 on the all, and I think 34-1 on the small and tall. So for every dollar, that would have been, I don't know, 230-something dollars. So that was an unfortunate end to the evening. After that, I called it quits and went to bed. But Mikey, it was good to see you. We had a good time. And I guess one more crap story to share, right?
There you go.
Hilarious.
God.
God. I hate those moments when you think you just you can't do something right, and it just always goes against you. Hate those days.
You know, the dice are going around the table. I know I'm going to leave after I shoot. And, you know, I'm down to black and green. Like, the idea of, you know, for a $5 bet, like, really, you know, I just didn't want to do it. Well, that'll show you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right.
Too cool. Well, thank you, guys. I guess this has been, it's been fun. Cheers.
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 I came back to my hometown incognito to forget about it all. Suddenly I heard, hey there, Papito, you don't ever give a call. Said to me, drunk girl, policeman. Now where have you been all my life? I've been skipping school since then. Yeah, I've been watching trains swiftly rolling by. I've been jumping them without long goodbyes. To uncover rules of life and how to break them well. And a key to my gypsy autopilot and my story to tell. So we ran to outskirts of our town, to the working man dance hall, where all night we played piano, yano, 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 off the chairs about to fall. Then we climbed the ladder to the attic, where once I showed her my first song. Above the street were all them crazy dreamers, still talking nonsense all night long. Hey, whoa, 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 nonsense all night long. Trains swiftly rolling by. I've been jumping them without long goodbyes. To uncover rules of life and how to break them well. And a key to my gypsy autopilot and my story to tell. So yeah, hey. If you keep on watching trains swiftly rolling by, one day you will be gone without long goodbyes. To uncover rules of life and how to break them well, and a key to your Gonzo Turbo Gypsy Autopilot, and your story to tell, story to tell.